Hi there, I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is.
Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. Last time we concluded speaking about teaching and learning, we said that God is our teacher and we are His students. As His students, I invited all of us, you and me both, to ponder, to think critically about what He has been teaching us. Have you been able to do that? Are you willing to do that? We read the Word of God, we hear it taught to us. We are then willing to either take the teaching, to integrate it with our lives and apply it, or we are not. We are not together weekdays purely for intellectual stimulation. We are here to grow into spiritual maturity as the people of God. And of course, we warmly welcome you if you're not yet a person who embraces Jesus Christ as your King. Let me pray for us. Our great God, we yearn to hear from you. And you speak to us through this living word, the Bible. You have written this for us. We are very grateful. Without the Bible, we would be lost, staggering around in the darkness of our minds and hearts without any light. We would not know you. We would not know how much you love us and care for us. We would not know how to love you, how to please you. We would not know how to get out of the dark and into the light. Your word is a lamp unto our feet, showing us the way to you. Teach us again today. You be the teacher, all of us the learners, the students, and the disciples. I pray we will not let what we learn go in one ear and out the other, but rather this will challenge us, convict us, grow us, and take us into a deeper, a richer, and more meaningful relationship with you. Help us to apply what we learned from Genesis to our real lives in this often scary, confusing, violent, and godless world of ours. Guard us, even right now in these moments, from being distracted. Oh Lord, there is so much to distract us from what is important, from who is important. That is you. Speak now with clarity to us. Let us listen. Amen. Indeed, God is our teacher, and He certainly was the teacher for the first man and the first woman. We're in the text of Scripture, Genesis 2, verses 18 through 20, and God has given us, His students, a course outline, if you will. This is His syllabus, His curriculum for Adam and for Eve, and when applied, for you and for me. Last time we covered point one, God wanted to teach Adam to fulfill Adam's responsibility. Let me read Genesis 2, verses 18 through 20. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him." Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the cattle and to the birds of the sky and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper suitable for him. Why did God not go from declaring that he would make a helper suitable for the man to directly making the woman? I think it is because God was taking time to teach the man something. In Genesis 1:28, God commanded Adam and Eve to rule over the animals. And now in Genesis 2:19 and 20, Adam fulfills. Adam obeys that command by naming the animals. And now the second lesson. God teaches Adam that while Adam will rule over the animals, he will not have satisfactory fellowship with the animals. Let me repeat that and explain. The teaching point on God's course outline is this. While Adam will rule over the animals, he will not have satisfactory fellowship with the animals. It's one thing to rule over. It is quite another thing to have fellowship with. It is one thing to rule over the animals. It is quite another thing to have fellowship with the animals. As God brings the animals to this first man to name them, Adam does so, fulfilling his responsibility. But as he does it, Adam sees something the animals have that Adam does not have. It is a mate. It had to have struck Adam as he watches the cattle and the beast of the field walk by, and as he observes the birds flying overhead and the crystal clear blue sky above his head, that these all come in twos, male and female. In a sense, the man is searching to see if perhaps he can have fellowship with one of these animals God has made. But he cannot. Man is different than the birds of the sky and the beasts of the field. This is a fruitless search. Among the animals, there is not a helper suitable for Adam. And this must have created a sense of need within the man. Remember, men and women are made for fellowship. We are made in the image of God, and God has fellowship. God has community within himself, Father, Son, and Spirit. Three persons in one proves that God is a social being. We are also. But just try expressing your sociability with cattle and birds. It will not fulfill you. Like this first man, we all need other people. We need someone of our own kind. Well, what is God doing here in verses 19 and 20? He is creating in man a sense of need. Our friend Dr. Alders puts it this way: thus there developed in man a longing for social companionship with a being who was his equal in every respect. That longing the Almighty satisfied by forming the woman as human life's companion for man. Just the other day, my wife asked me if I would help her order some books from thriftbooks.com. Now, they're not going to give me a cent, not any money at all for saying this, but if you are into used books, go to thriftbooks.com and you'll find cheap used books in good condition. Now, we have not been disappointed yet. When I asked my wife for the author's name, she said James Herriot. I'd never heard of him. And then for the title, she said, If Only They Could Talk. Well, it turns out this author was a vet, a veterinarian, an animal doctor in the British countryside of Yorkshire in the 20th century. He died in 1995, but not before writing many books about his practice and the animals that he treated. My wife had read his books when she was younger and, turning nostalgic, ordered several to reread. One of them was, If Only They Could Talk. Those of us with pets that we very much love can relate to this lament. What if our pets could talk? What are they thinking? What would they say? But the reality, returning to Adam in the garden, is that animals do not talk. Our language, anyway. We're left to wonder what they are really thinking. I think Herriot's title speaks to the fact that the first man had a need. He had a need for social companionship, a human who would be his equal in every respect, and God stirs up this need in Adam's heart here in Genesis 2, verses 19 and 20, by having the man observe and then name those animals. I wonder if our man Adam thought, if only they could talk. God is teaching Adam. God is showing Adam his need for the woman. And skipping ahead slightly, let me suggest here that this self-awareness within the man, the need, the longing for the woman, will make Adam love and appreciate Eve all the more when she comes along. I believe it will also make Adam grateful for God and God's abundant provision when God introduces Adam to Eve. And we will be coming to that in the text of Genesis chapter 2 a little bit further along. The second point on God's course outline for his student Adam is this. While Adam will rule over the animals, he will not have satisfactory fellowship with the animals. And before we leave this point on the outline, let me comment on something keen readers of the Bible will have noticed. Genesis 2 verse 19 says that God brought the animals to the man to see what he would call them. And then Adam names them. And you may have thought, wow, all these animals in the garden? And how long would it take Adam to sit there and name them? You might even find this somewhat unbelievable, like the Bible must be exaggerating. I want to suggest to you that first, not all of the animals in existence were in the garden in Eden. The Bible says God brought the animals to the man. Well, a garden is not really a garden if it has all these animals traipsing through it all the time. Rather, God brought into the garden and over to Adam only the animals with the highest likelihood for having fellowship with the man. Remember, the garden is in the broader land of Eden. The other animals were outside the garden in that land. But the specific animals Adam named were a lesser number. And again, even in those, he found not a helper suitable for him. Adam named only a certain number of creatures that day. Now, this is remarkable. The man is quite intelligent, and he was able to quickly determine what an animal's name should be based on its nature and its characteristics. Henry Morris is very insightful on this point. Let me quote him. "We have no way of knowing exactly how many kinds of animals appeared before Adam, but it was clearly not such a large number as to be incapable of examination within a few hours at most." It is not unreasonable to suggest that Adam could note and name about 10 kinds each minute, so that in, say, 5 hours, about 3,000 kinds could be identified. Unquote. Well, I find that fascinating indeed, but we're almost out of time for today. So I'll tell you what, when you come back tomorrow, I will give that quote again, say a little more, and then we will proceed discovering together who God is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. Mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.